Well, welcome everyone to episode 5 of FBC Pastors Talk. We welcome you back, or welcome you even for the first time. If you're joining us, we hope you find this format helpful if you're joining us for the first time. I'm Pastor Jared, and with me again today is Pastor Mike and Josh Branch. As we pick up our conversation from last time, as we were talking about the problem of evil and how God is sovereign even over evil. And last time in our conversation, we were able to accomplish basically 3 things. The first thing we did was we defined our terms, what is evil, and Josh helped us to see that evil is the negation of good, whether that comes in terms of a moral standard that is good that we deviate from, or even in creation. We know that God created everything good, and anything that happens that is evil is a deviation from that good creation. Secondly, we saw that the Bible fits very well with evil, how Christianity is uniquely equipped to address of evil. We're not embarrassed of it or ashamed. We know that it's there, and the Bible addresses it. And thirdly, we saw that the conversation around evil lends Christianity, or it plays into Christianity, and that we can take the Bible and easily go to the gospel from the subject of evil. But like last time, we saw that that doesn't solve all the problems. There is a philosophical conundrum that's out there when it comes to evil. Some would even say that the whole subject of evil is the Achilles heel of Christianity if we're not able to sufficiently address it. So this is no small thing. And Josh, why don't you set out for us again, what is that apparent philosophical, theological conundrum when it comes to evil and God's character?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Jared. And it's good to be back today. So the argument goes something like this. If God is good, then he would want to rid evil from the world. And if God is all-powerful, then he would eliminate evil from the world. He would overcome it. He would take care of it. And then last, because evil exists, therefore there is no God, or at least not a God who is both sovereign and all-powerful and loving, as Christians say.
So it seems like we're almost like backed into a corner there, that we have to choose between goodness or sovereignty. We can't have one or the other, because God was either not good enough to stop it because he's not good, or he was unable to stop it even if he wanted to. So that gets to the very core of who God is, right? So, I admit that this is not something easily resolved, but I think the Bible is clear that helps us come to a resting place of where we can embrace both these things. So let's start unpacking each one of those then, Josh and Mike. Let's start with God's goodness. This gets to the very core of who God is. We say that God is good. We said that everything that he made was good at the beginning, but how can we reconcile the fact that evil was even possible if God is good and his creation was good?
Yeah. So those are all really, really good questions. And when we encounter these types of questions, we shouldn't take these personally. We shouldn't take them as an attack or an affront to our identity or Christianity. Really, these are opportunities for us to give a defense for the hope within us. And really behind these big philosophy-type questions, there are more personal questions that are being asked too. And the personal questions that are deeper are, how can a good, loving, all-powerful God allow evil to happen to me? You know, we all have situations in our lives where we encounter evil, whether it's moral or natural. And so that's the question. How can God allow this to happen to me? And then secondarily, why do bad things happen to good people?
Well, I think, I mean, just that question you just stated gets, you have to understand who man is, you know, because when you make this statement or the question of why do bad things happen to good people, you're making the assumption that people are good, right? You even have to start there on that question.
Yeah, and there's a sense in which all of us think that we're owed something, right? That we're not getting a fair shake out of life when whatever happens to us. You know, even smaller things like our car breaking down, you know, you gotta spend money out of that. So, oh God, why is this happening to me? And so, yeah, Mike, do you want to answer that?
Again, that's where I think it's important that we start. And I think we covered this last week, where we start with who man is, and that man is not inherently good. And you have to walk through Romans 3, right? None is righteous, no, not one. All have turned aside. And so to make the statement, why do bad things happen to good people? Really, a better question is, if you really want to ask it accurately, why do bad things happen to bad people? That's really the question. But obviously the problem is, and we all think this way at times because we kind of equate, or we make this mathematical equation that we are inherently good in some capacity. And so then we run to then, well, then why do bad things happen to me? But when we really break it down, we know that, no, it's why do bad things happen to bad people?
While these may seem like they're different questions, right? One is kind of like highbrow philosophical, and the other is rubber meets the road where we're at. They're really the same question. And so to get into that, like you've so aptly described, Mike, the short answer to all of these questions is sin. The reason why there's evil in the world, the reason why things happen to us is sin. And I don't necessarily mean personal sin and the consequences that can come of that. That is certainly true in some situations. But we're talking about global sin. We're talking about the sin of humanity, original sin, and all the effects that it's caused. So we know that the world was not created the way we live in it now. Something had to happen to change it. Perfection was lost due to man's sin, and this imperfection is now passed on to everybody and everything. Huh. And I think once we start to answer these questions, we have to realize that Christianity does not necessarily answer the why evil exists in the world. It definitely gives us the what, it definitely gives us the how, but it doesn't necessarily give us the why. That is really kind of trapped in the mysteries of God. We don't know the whole mind of God, so we don't necessarily know the why for everything there. But because sin entered the world, natural and moral evil occur, and they will continue to occur. Evil is really just a reminder that something happened to change the original intent of the world, to change the status quo. And this changes my life, it changes your life, it changes the entire world. So, yeah, should I continue to move on there? You guys want to jump in?
Let me jump in here. I mean, what Josh is saying is the why question's hard because God created everything and it was good. I mean, that's what it says. This question of why has been wrestled with, I mean, even theologians like R.C. Sproul. I read this week and it jumped out at me. I was thinking about evil and he made this statement. He says, I haven't changed my opinion on the problem of evil since a conversation he had a long time ago with a guy named Dr. Gerstner. In the many years I've taught philosophy, apologetics, and theology, and in the many conversations I've had with hurting people, a full answer to the problem of evil still remains elusive. And so, I mean, to think we're going to figure all of this out as with our finite minds, we're not.
Yeah, and it's just comforting to me at the end of the day to know that the presence of evil in and of itself does not mean that God is not good. That number one, we said in Genesis 1 that everything that he saw was very good. Obviously, the initial creation was good. But even when we sinned and brought evil into the world, you even see his goodness in the response to that. That he didn't wipe everything out immediately. He still allowed sinners to experience good things. The rain and food and relationships, even though they're broken, we still have so many of the remnants of the good things that he created. He allows that to go on. But also, the Bible tells us that when we sinned and rebelled, it grieved him. In creation, God made us not to just be robots to go and do what he tells us to do just because it's the right thing. He wanted us to choose his way over another way and to love him in that way. And when we didn't do that, it even grieved him. In Genesis 6, we see that it grieved him to his heart that he had made man upon the earth after seeing all that man had done. And so So just the fact, the presence of evil does not mean that God necessarily has to have evil within himself or even have evil purposes. Because again, we see how not only in the initial creation, how he responded, but also the fact that it grieved him that a relationship was broken. And of course, then we see him going on a mission even to restore that. So all of that speaks to the fact that God is inherently good. And Mike, isn't there a sense in which sometimes we downplay the relational aspect of us bringing evil into the world? It was a breach of relationship.
There's a great book on the Trinity that I just really enjoy reading lately by Michael Reeves. And he explains this understanding that God's goodness and his in creation is just an extension of his love towards his son, Jesus. All right. And so that overflowed then in creation. And so he was creating for the sake of not to, like, I'm going to create all these image bearers and let's see what they do with this. His creation, the very purpose of it, was to overflow the love that he has towards the son now into creation, his image bearers. And so he wants that relationship with us and he wants us to enter in. And I think Michael Reeves makes a great statement. If you could just listen for a second, I think it's the best I've seen on this whole idea of evil. And the statement he says is, "Father who delights to have a son chooses to create many children who will have real lives of their own to share the love and freedom he has always enjoyed. The creatures of this triune God are not mere extensions of him. He gives them life and personal being. Allowing them that, though, means allowing them to turn away from himself. And that's the origin of evil. By graciously giving his creatures the room to exist, the triune God allows them the freedom to turn away without himself being the author of evil." And I just think that is it's the best understanding I've seen, where it's like he created us because of his love for the son. And then that's an extension of, he wants us to enjoy that relationship with the triune God. But we are the ones who ultimately turned away and chose evil. And so we brought in evil into this world, Genesis chapter 3.
So again, that's the first part. God is good. The Bible can sufficiently defend God's goodness, even despite the presence of evil. And we even know that God is still good if we look for his goodness, even out in creation and in our lives. So I guess the second part then it needs to be addressed then. Well, if God is good, and he is not inherently evil, and he didn't like evil in that sense, well, why didn't he stop it? If he's truly sovereign, then why didn't he stop evil from happening?
So, hey, Jared, sorry if I'm kind of interrupting, jumping in here, but I was just thinking, like, if, you know, you've totally established that God is good, he's wholly good. When he made everything, it was good. But then you have the person that comes along and asks the question, well, if God is wholly good, well, then why didn't he stop this evil? Why wouldn't he put an end to it or just halt it right away?
Yeah, so I actually want to jump in here if I can. That is, it's such a good question, and it's why we as Christians don't explain away evil, right? We have to answer these questions. And really the first question that needs to be answered is, how is God all-powerful? How is he sovereign? Yet how is he not the author of these things? The answer to that is hard for us to understand, because we know that God is not the author of sin, right? The scriptures say that implicitly. He is not the author of sin. He is not the author of evil. But here's where it gets tricky. God is the author of the authors of sin. He is the creator of the creators of sin. And so how do we explain that? How do we deal with that question? And we don't brush it under the rug. In fact, we meet it head on, that God actually uses sin and evil in his plan to relate to mankind. This gets to a really important question. Was Jesus a plan B? And no, he wasn't. In fact, God, from the very beginning, had ordained and decreed these things to take place. Original sin and man's fall. And did that so that he could showcase his love for humanity most supremely in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So while he's not the author of sin, he uses sin to show his love toward us.
Yeah, I just think about what we would not have known about God had sin not occurred. What we would not have known about the Trinitarian relationship had sin not occurred. So we would not have known God's wrath if sin had not occurred, but we also would not have known about his mercy and his grace had sin not occurred. And I know that's hard for us to understand, but yet that does speak to this whole thing of real. And you talked about it at one point, Josh and Mike, that the whole point of history and creation is not really about us. It is about God demonstrating who he is within the Trinity, but also to his creation and receiving glory in that. So I know that sounds almost egocentric to those who aren't maybe familiar with the gospel story and the whole plan of redemption, but it does come down to really at the end of the day, it's about God and his purposes and not ours, right, guys?
Yeah, and I was also thinking that you wouldn't understand the fullness of God's even character. I mean, even his humanity, even when you think of Genesis, before Jesus comes, you see grieving take place. You see a holy God grieving, but then also we wouldn't see the fullness of obviously love, you know, if Jesus never had to come. You wouldn't see the fullness of his mercy, of his grace. Those things are just so powerful when you think about it as humans, like that God is a personal relational God, and he grieves and he shows mercy and he loves and he cares for, and I mean just all those things. We wouldn't fully understand God if it wasn't for really sin entering the world.
Yeah, that's hard, and that's just hard for us to wrap our minds around, is that it took something he does not like, which is evil, to bring about ultimate spotlight and to put it on to him to be glorified in that. Because of course, after he steps in and makes it right through what he does through his son, and then the son is rewarded by the father because of that. And so the whole thing is really an opportunity, a theater in which the Trinity can put their power and love and mercy on display, as well as wrath and all these things we would not have seen. So there's a sense in which almost if creation would have gone on how it was, we would not have seen all that God is. And for whatever reason, he wanted us to see all that who he is.
So just to kind of go back to our original question about if God is good, then he would rid the world of evil. If he's powerful, then he would eliminate evil from the world. And because evil exists, therefore there is no God. The main problem with those questions are people don't take time into account. Because here's the reality and the great news for us as believers. God is going to rid the world of evil. And ultimately, he already has, right? Christ's victory on the cross is our down payment, our assurance of that. It's done. So he is going to eliminate evil. He is going to overcome and take care of evil. And the thing we just got to remember, it's not on our timetable. It's on him. And so we as the New Testament church need to remember that we actually are living in those last days. And the things that are spoken about in Revelation are going to come about. They are going to take place. And there is just a wonderful hope for us in that. And so to encourage you, maybe we can go to 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. And then Jared, maybe when I'm done reading this, you can just kind of expound on it and give your thoughts.
Okay.
This. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Yeah, that just reminds us that for the believer, the presence of evil, while we experience them like the non-believer does, it does push us forward to that time when there will be no evil. It should be that daily reminder of not so much setting our affections here ultimately, but on the things to come because of what Jesus did, like we talked about in Ecclesiastes. But, you know, it doesn't mean that these things are easy to communicate to someone who is going through hard things, especially a non-Christian. Even Christians who are going through hard things, these are hard things to communicate. And we need to, there's a certain way we need to go about doing that. And I think we can next time start addressing some of these hard practical questions and how we might go about, even from experience being on the other end of these things, but even in our pastoral ministry and even with encouraging each other, how can we take the truth about God being sovereign and good and apply it to everyday situations.
Mikey, anything else?
No, I mean, not anything new. Just when you really think of these things, it's amazing how at the same time they're weighty, because we know evil's out there. We know not only will we go through it, but then obviously as we think about our non-believing, those who don't have Christ as their king, it's when you really run that out, it's hard to think about those things. And so hopefully we can be an encouragement next week and talk through some of those things, as Jared's already said.
Well, thanks, Pastor Jared and Pastor Mike. For more information about Faith Bible Church or about eternal life and the forgiveness of sins that only Jesus can offer, please visit our website at faithcanton.com or contact Pastor Jared or Mike at jared@faithcanton.com and mike@faithcanton.com. Also, we invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/faithbiblecanton or via YouTube at youtube.com/faithbiblechurch. From all of us at Faith Bible Church, goodbye and hope to see you next time.